B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Velger.
Oh, you idiot!
Nass.
Holy crap!
Velger and Nass.
I hate that.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, coming up on 4:05 in the evening. Got to do some Patriots. Haven't done it all week. Okay, so what I wanted to do was to say, well, let's do a Patriots offseason to-do list. What should they do in order? What are their priorities? Give me 3 to 5 things that they should do, and what order should they do them in? Sort of piggybacking off a column that Ben Volen wrote in the Boston Globe, where he does basically the same thing. And then we all read Ben Volen's column, and we disagreed with so much of it that we said, you know what? Screw our list. Let's just rip his.
Much easier.
So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to pick his article apart because there's so much we disagreed with. It's just, well, why look a gift horse in the mouth? I'd rather rip Volen than come up with my own material.
Oh, yeah. No. Just dump on someone else. Tee off.
It's like
the Felger and Maz way.
101. Felger and Maz 101.
Yeah. I mean, why do
work? Okay. So to-do list. Exactly. Just rip somebody else who did the work. Perfect. So he gives you 9 things, and we actually agree with some of them, but we're going to ignore those for the time being. We're going to focus on the ones that we disagree with. And I'll start with a simple one. Number one, he says, give Tom Brady a new contract. Should that be their first priority? Is that the first thing to do?
No.
But you know what? That one didn't bother me because I'm okay with Brady getting a new contract.
So this isn't the worst. This is the most egregious. But he starts with number one, so I'll start with number one. It's not number one. It's not number one. And so, I mean, obviously, he says they can increase his salary by increase his real salary while decreasing the salary cap, which makes everybody a winner. Win-win, right? Which is why the salary cap is crap. If you can make more money but count less on the cap, that proves my point in a nutshell. Okay? He says, for example, they can give him a $21 million signing bonus all up front, slash his salary this upcoming year to $1 million, a veteran minimum, which means he will make $22 million next year, up from the 15 he was set to make in real money, and his cap number would go from 27 to 20. Okay, got it. So your first priority is to shave $7 million off the cap. You're $20 million under. You know, that's not... It's on the list somewhere. I want them to take care of Brady at some point, but...
It's not imperative. Like, it's not...
I know it's number one on my list.
If Brady's going to ask for the moon and stars, and I hope he does, and I hope he holds out for it. But if he does, and the Patriots don't want to give it to him, they can easily have him play next year under his existing contract, existing pit, and they won't be hurt one bit. They can find that $7 million in a million other places. So it's not a priority. It's just the right thing to do. I would not put that number one. Okay, number two. He says, restructure the contracts of Rob Gronkowski, Dante Hightower, and Dwayne Allen to create cap space. Keep Devin McCourty as is. McCourty is going to make $9.5 million in real money and count $13.5 million against the cap. I think he has that all ass backwards. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the only one I agree on there is restructure Dante Hightower. Like, to me, okay, that one I'm good with. The rest of them, you can restructure Gronk, but he'll retire.
So, right, go.
Okay, why restructure Dwayne Allen? Why not just cut him? You're telling me we can't find another tight end who can block?
Why don't you hire a third tackle, sign a third tackle that has good feet, and just put him out there?
Yeah, he's got to go.
It's the same difference.
And I love McCourty. I do. I'm talking about the whole career, everything he represents. He's slipping. And so if you're keeping McCourty, he's got to restructure his contract, and I'm not sure he's doing that.
So look, I think McCourty has slipped, and it's not because of injury. It's because he's, you know, long in the tooth. He's been here a while, and that's going to happen. I think Gronkowski had an Achilles problem last year, which is going to impact how he looks. So I'm just the opposite on all this. I keep Gronkowski right where he is. I keep the big fella happy and in the fold. He's going to make $10 million in real money, have a $12 million cap hit. I don't touch it. I think if I'm Brady, I put pressure on the team to keep it as is, and I don't touch Gronkowski. Hightower, you want to mess around with, fine. Dwayne Allen's gone. He's not restructured. Dwayne Allen, $7.4 million next year.
I mean, that's insane.
And all of it's, if you cut him, you're not responsible for a dime. It's all money that comes off the books. You get the full $7.4 savings if you cut him.
I mean, at 7.5, he's like one of your five highest paid players.
Someone has to explain to me the fascination of Dwayne Allen.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
Okay? You don't see the blocking, Felger.
I don't. It's true. Yeah. You can do the third tight end on your the blocking tight end on your own time.
I have a theory.
Jimmy?
Hush money.
Thank you. How much is that worth? So I'm cutting Dwayne Allen. I'm keeping Gronkowski, it is, and I'm cutting McCourty. I mean, how many plays was he really involved in this year?
Not many. I told you, I love McCoy. I love what he represents. I love the leadership. I love everything about him, the intelligence, all of it. But he's not worth the money anymore.
It ain't worth that. Okay. Then he gets to this one. Set a firm price. Set firm prices, plural. Set firm prices for Trey Flowers and Trent Brown and be prepared to let them walk.
This was the one that pissed me off.
Volan writes that Brown was a great find last season. Only cost $1.9 million, but now he's the top offensive tackle on the free agent market and is looking for a big payday. Isaiah Wynn, who's recovering from an Achilles tendon, is available to step in at left tackle, so the Pats don't need to break the bank for Brown. As for Flowers, he has developed into a key player on the defense, but if he has a robust free agent market, the Patriots should let another team pay him top dollar. Flowers is not a dominant one-on-one pass rusher, he writes, and the Patriots have a well-established history of letting star defensive players go and being just fine the next year. Players like Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan, and Malcolm Butler. He says the Patriots need bodies on the defensive line and have options between free agency and trade candidates. But their defensive scheme is built more on scheme than on talent. They shouldn't overpay to bring back Flowers.
So while I agree with his assessment of Trey Flowers, what I don't agree with is, we can be okay with letting them both walk. No, you have to keep one or the other. I said last Friday, I'm pro Trent Brown on this. So even if you don't want to give him a long-term deal because, you know, there's some concerns about his work ethic and he doesn't want to watch tape and all that, he had a phenomenal year. You need to have a solid left tackle. So franchise tag him. Make sure that Isaiah Wynn.
What is that, like 15 million?
14 and a half, something like that. But if you tag him, you at least can see what Isaiah Wynn looks like. Bring him along through the season. Have him play spot duty, because if he's really injured, then you're screwed. You can't rely on a rookie who had a torn Achilles last year be protecting Tom Brady's blindside at 42 years old next year. At the very least, franchise tag and just essentially have him as insurance and then figure it out after next season.
To me, Flowers is the one that I'm not letting get away for nothing.
I think he's underselling Trey Flowers.
Yeah, to me, that's the one. I don't let Flowers let him walk. Like, I read this item and say, set firm prices and be prepared to let them walk. And I'm wondering if this is the item on his list that Ben included to appease Belichick. Say, this is how the Patriots do business, and so, you know, they're right on this one. Wrong. Not Trey Flowers. No way. You don't let that guy walk. Brown's a different animal, too, because he's, you know.
He's also not your guy. You didn't draft him. You didn't develop him. It's not. He came in on a trade. He, you know, did his job, fulfilled his promise. He has a chance to go make money, like. I don't know. Trey Flowers, you drafted, developed, was a huge part of your core, your principles, everything. He's a perfect Patriot.
So the other thing that scares me with Brown is that if you give him a long-term deal, he could come in at 425 pounds.
Exactly.
So that would scare the crap out of me.
Just tag him and see how it goes for next season. But I don't think you can leave that job up to Isaiah Wynn, who didn't play because of a torn Achilles last year.
It's not a horrible option. Murray's way to say it is not a horrible option, but if I were them, give the job to Wynn and draft another guy.
Okay, so we disagree with that one. Ben. And then there's this one. Again, there's some we agree with, but we're ignoring those for now. 8 on his list was this. Bring back Philip Dorsett. I'll put these out of order for effect. Bring back Ryan Allen, Steven Gostkowski, John Simon. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he made a play in the Super Bowl.
Okay, John Simon. Jason McCourty. Bring back Malcolm Brown. Bring back Adrian Waddle. Philip Dorsett. And Cordarrelle Patterson.
And Malcolm Brown is the one that I kind of find offensive in there. He did nothing this year.
Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah. No, that one blew me away, too. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're going to give him more money?
Cordarrelle Patterson?
No, thanks. Sorry. Thank you. But no. I don't mind the idea of keeping Dorsett. I'm okay with that one. Malcolm Brown? Malcolm Brown! We're going to keep Malcolm Brown! What?
I mean, they were trying to ship him out before the season even started, remember?
Like, for what? Keep him for what? Practice? Like, you need tackling dummies? What do you need? He gave him nothing. He was useless.
And how much longer are we going to go without just bringing another kicker into camp to see if, just see what that looks like?
Well, they did bring in a punter this year to challenge Allen,
okay,
right?
The punter's good.
Ryan Allen's good.
The kicker. I don't know. I've been saying this for like 3 years. Obviously, they don't
want Page 33 of the Wells Report, Mike.
Well, there's another thing that's often overlooked with that as well. It's true. But so I'm not saying get rid of Steven Gostkowski, but can I see what another guy looks like? I mean, Gostkowski's been here. They ditched Adam before they ditched the, you know, this guy's been here longer than Adam was here.
Got to trim that number a little too, don't you? Isn't he already the highest paid kicker in the league?
And I'm fine with Philip Dorsett, but maybe someone wants to introduce him to Brady? Or maybe Tom just show up for like 10 minutes in the offseason and work on a little bit, because the kid can play a little bit. You have no receivers. Which leads us to our last item. Okay, and we'll pick that up on the other side with your calls. We'll continue with your calls on everything else. Pasternak, the Celtics, Red Sox if you want, and our Patriots thoughts with one more item and you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Do they go load up the way they did once upon a time with Randy Moss and Wes Welker?
That was a long time ago. I don't see a load up. You know, if you look at this team and kind of how they reinvented themselves this year, Greeny, they realized the strength of our football team is our run game, is our dominant offensive line. And I really believe that's where they're trending, especially knowing Brady's got another 3 or 4 years to be playing at a high level. We can see they still have Rex Burkhead. They still have Sony Michel. They still have James White. That's the value to this football team. This is the team that just won the Super Bowl, Greeny. They did so by being the fifth-ranked rush team in the offense in the NFL. So they have become a run team and a play-action team. That being said, even with those, I guess if we want to call them subpar receivers, they're the eighth-ranked pass offense in the NFL as well. So they don't really need this retooling of huge wide receivers. There's some free agent guys available. I just believe that this team's identity is their offensive line, run game, and allowing Brady to play that distributor mode.
Okay, Dan Orlovsky on ESPN, you know who sent me that? With a one-word tagger. And the one-word tagger read,
right, any number of people.
It's Gasper. So Dan Orlovsky on ESPN saying the Patriots' identity is that of a running team. It's not important that they get receivers. So part of what he's saying is I totally agree with, in that I don't care about Julio Jones. I don't care about Antonio Brown. I don't care about Des. I don't need...
The big name, sexy, deep threat guy.
Of the 10 years we've been on the air, if I have, you know, been consistent about one thing, starting with Randy Moss and anyone else on this kind of list, I'd want no part of the big money, super talented outside receiver who is a pain in my neck. No thank you. Whether that's sort of harmless pain in the neck, like on-field stuff, or off-field pain in the neck, like Josh Gordon. I want no piece of any of these guys. None of them. I think there was a time I was okay with Ocho Cinco because I stupidly thought he was just stuck in Cincinnati, and when you brushed away the nonsense, he was a real football player. Well, I was wrong about that, and I'll never make that mistake again. I'm not taking the cheese on any of those a-holes. You can have Odell Beckham. You can have Antonio Brown. You can have Julio Jones. You can have any of these jackwagons. I don't need them to win. I don't want them. So, like, I agree with Orlovsky on that. I don't need the next Randy Moss. But we're just going to build around the run game now and those 13 points in the Super Bowl?
Oh, no, stop, please. You got to get receivers. They need to rebuild the receiving core.
Holy moly. Their depth chart at receiver? Have you seen their depth chart at receiver? It is freaking scary. It's basically Julian Edelman and nobody else.
Here it's it Edelman, is. Period. That's it.
Here it is. As of now, the depth chart at receiver reads Julian Edelman, Braxton Berrios. Now I get into a whole range of things where people, I don't know who these guys are. But that's it. And Braxton Berrios, I barely remember. Miami kid, draft pick last year, got hurt early or practice squad early. Yeah. And it wasn't a factor all year. Was he hurt or practice squad?
Hurt.
Okay, so the depth chart at receiver is Julian Edelman, Braxton Berrios, Darren Andrews, Cody, don't call me Jacob Hollister.
Who's a free agent, I think, isn't he? But go ahead.
Damoun Patterson. Not Damon. D-A-M-O-U-N Patterson. Damoun. I don't mean to make fun of the guy's name, but this is the first time reading it. Damoon Patterson. That's their depth chart at receiver. And we're just going to continue to build around Rex Burkhead and Sony Michel. Would you please?
Oh, it's asinine, please. They got to rebuild the whole receiving core. They need to get, like, between draft and practice squad and free. They got to get, you know, two or three receivers.
Okay, they got to get two or three receivers. They got to build the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, Danny Amendola was just released to Miami. I'll take him back any day of the week.
Sure.
If they will. Danny took a big steaming deuce on Bill's head on the way out the door over the Malcolm Butler thing. I wonder if Bill's going to let him back into the fold. Big question mark. But if Bill can get over it, Danny Amendola, any day of the week. Okay? I would take him back. I'm with Volan on the Dorsett thing. I'd take Dorsett back, you know, and again try and get Brady to throw to him. But then still, I mean, even the draft picks. I'm not going to rely on a draft pick. I need some veterans. Here's your free agent list. Soon to be released, if he wasn't already today, Demaryius Thomas in Houston.
Nope.
0.0 interest on my part.
I would take a shot because he'll be cheap.
Ugh. Feh.
But again, he's not my first priority, but I would take a shot there.
Just the kind of guy I hate.
What did he do? He blew out his Achilles in Houston?
Oh, he did. Soft, yeah. soft.
No thanks.
You got a tough competitive team, and you're going to bring in that Sally? No thank you.
I would still do it.
Randall Cobb in Green Bay.
Too many injuries.
But, I mean, again, I would take a shot, but there's a lot of miles there.
If the price is right, he's just your kind of guy. He's not nearly as quick as some of the guys, but he'll go over the middle. He'll play different positions. Sort of a tough football player. He's just banged up and can't stay on the field and slow. But I don't care about that. I care about tough, competitive, good hands. Randall Cobb's the kind of guy I would take. But the number one guy on my list, Golden Tate.
I love Golden Tate. I would do it, but he's going to cost.
Perfect Patriot.
Yeah, so do I. Tough, you know, and he came on, at least in that playoff game for Philadelphia last year. The problem is, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, he'll be 31. Like, the age is a little bit of a concern for me, but he'd be great here.
Murray's right. The age is worrisome there.
Dante Moncrief.
No.
I don't mind Moncrief, but you can do better.
Tavon Alston. I mean, no. I mean, isn't Philip Dorsett Dante Moncrief?
Basically,
yeah.
Okay, Tavon Alston.
No.
Ryan Grant.
No.
Okay.
Tavon Alston, if you wanted to tell me you wanted him to replace Cordarrelle Patterson as your trick guy and kick returner?
Yep.
Fine. Okay, you got to use him differently. But again, as top three receiver? No.
So what's scary on this list is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Cordarrelle Patterson's the ninth guy on this list.
No.
So he's like a top 10 free agent. So the list sort of...
But what are you sorting the list by?
What are you looking at?
So I'm looking at last year's AAV, so what they were paid last year.
Okay.
So it's not a scout's ranking. I'm just going off of Spotrac that ranks their salaries from last year. So fair enough. That's Cole Beasley in Dallas.
So he's old. He's in his 30s now, 30, 31 years old. But I would give him a shot if the money's right.
He's taking a beating.
I would love him if it weren't such a cliche, another little white slot receiver.
Well, get ready because there's more on the list.
Like who?
Adam Humphries.
Tampa Bay.
That's the guy.
And he's 25. And it feels like he's just coming into it. Right? He had a good year. What did he have, 76 catches last year or something like that?
816 yards. It was totally like a, you know, I'm about to get paid type of year for him.
5'11", 195. Like, he's got Patriot written all over him.
Okay.
And you know what? He's the flavor of the month right now, too, because of all the guys on the free agent market, he had the most catches. So, you know, and you know where he went? To school?
Clemson.
College?
No.
Clemson.
No. Okay.
Which means he preceded Hunter Renfro.
So it wasn't Rutgers.
He was Hunter Renfro before Hunter Renfro, which is the guy I want in the draft. I'm just telling you that, you know, Humphries is their kind of guy.
Okay.
Murray's right about this. He brought him up first.
Another guy I like, John Brown. I know he's a little undersized, but, you know, and
okay,
I know.
He's a Baltimore. He used to be in Arizona. Is that the same guy?
Yeah. He's more of a speed guy, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but if you do want to kind of stretch the field a little bit, that could be someone you want to look at.
Oh, yeah, so Brady can underthrow him?
So, look, if you want to be a running team, you better have a hell of a defense, and you better not let Trey Flowers go. So, if we're really going to do this, if this is really what the Patriots are, which I don't think they are, and if this is really what they're going to be, which God help me if they are, because you're going to try and win games scoring 13 points a game? I don't want to thread that needle. Like, the amount of people who treat their offense as a success coming out of the Super Bowl blow me away. You scored 13 points. The offense was not a success on Super Bowl Sunday. It wasn't. You won in spite of your offense. And the big problem in that game is you didn't throw the ball well enough. You didn't throw the ball. And so that's got to be a priority, and they got to I don't need the superstar fancy guy on the outside, but I need receivers.
So can I give you a couple of other names just for the sake of discussion?
Go.
Okay. And I don't know whether he plays on the inside or the outside, but he's small. Jamison Crowder with the Redskins.
Okay.
If he's a guy that plays on the inside, to me, feels like another perfect Patriot. If he's a possession guy. I don't know, Murray, you can tell me whether he plays on the inside or the out. You know these guys better than I do.
Go ahead.
Crowder hasn't had a quarterback. The other one I like, Devin Funchess with Carolina. They're going to need a bigger guy, too, in the red zone, especially if Gronk doesn't come back. And this worked with Brandon LaFell. All you need is for a year or two. He's a big guy, big target in the red zone. I would take a shot on Funchess because he's had Cam Newton throwing to him, for crying out loud. And if you could put Tom Brady with him, he'd be a better player, I think.
Okay.
And he's 25.
So there's our Patriots thoughts. And we still have Celtics. We still have the Bruins. And stumbly there, David Pastrnak. To your phones, as promised. Robert in Worcester. Go ahead, Robert. What do you got on the Pats?
Hey, yeah, I was thinking what you guys thought about Adam Humphries as a free agent signing. You know, it seems like the mold of the Patriots would fit, you know, fast slot receiver. I feel like it'd be like an Edelman 2.0.
Okay, I'm for that all day long. The thing is, because I love those guys, they're the engine of the offense. That, to me, is what the offense is built around. Brady to the slot receiver. You know what? It's not the running game. It's not the outside guy. It's Brady to the slot or Brady to this tight end. That's the heart and soul of the offense, and it has been for 17 years. Whether it's Troy Brown or Wes Welker or Julian Edelman and now Gronkowski, that's it. And I don't need that to change. So I'll take another good slot receiver because Edelman's getting long in the tooth too. You need two outside guys. You need two. So go get a slot guy, no problem. You need two guys on the outside.
What about Dorsett?
So I'm like, again, I'm fine with Dorsett because I think there's something there to work with. I just need now Brady to work with him. So fine, bring him back, but make sure your quarterback shows up and works with this guy a little bit, because just having Dorsett around to ignore is sort of pointless, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, I'm just telling you, I think it could work if Brady were willing to do it. That's all.
And Danny Amendola, I don't know if it's one of your two starting outside guys.
No, not good enough.
I feel like Amendola needs to come back and be what Hogan is to you right now, which is the fourth guy who's in and out during the regular season, you sort of lose track of, and then in the big game, Brady looks to when it matters.
They need some depth behind Edelman. That was a problem this year. Because if Edelman went down, they were porked big time. And so you can't go into next year thinking Edelman's going to play, you know, 19 games or whatever it is.
Here's Murray's update. If you haven't heard the latest on David Pastrnak, listen to this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where the back to the right of Mahomes, who takes the snap on third down and nine, dropping back, scrambling away from the pocket. He's tripped up and he's dropped back at the 37-yard line.
No field goal.
Trey Flowers in pursuit with Van Noy, Claiborne, and Hightower.
Way to go, boys. Way to push that pocket. Terrible, terrible decision by the quarterback to not sense pressure. Again, this is where he gets into trouble. He could keep plays alive, but he just took his team out of field goal range.
Trey Flowers with that huge sack in the AFC title game. Just to pick a play. Trey Flowers, I think the best player on your defense.
Can't let that guy go.
Guy you drafted and developed is now up for a contract. And Ben Volen in the Boston Globe says, be prepared to let him walk.
I mean, when you really get right down to it, you look at that defense, how many players do they have on that defense that are good and young?
Right. How many young impact players do they have on that defense? Two or three.
I mean, tops.
Like, I mean, is Gilmore still young?
So I was going to say maybe him and Flowers.
Well, and is Van Noy young?
Good question.
And is he truly impact, or did he just, you
But
know?
It's a few. It's a few. It's not either of the McCourties.
He's 27, and he did have his best season
Who's
as a
that?
Pro this year.
Van Noy?
Van Noy,
I mean, that's...
Gilmore's 28.
So those guys are, you know, we can debate whether they're young or not, but I suppose they're impact. Trey Flowers, there's no debating what this guy is.
No, you got to keep that guy. You can't let that guy go.
Ben Volen of the Boston Globe writes, you set prices for Flowers and Trent Brown and be prepared to let them walk. He says, he's developed into a key player on the defense, but if he has a robust free agent market, the Patriots should let another team pay him top dollar, another team. Flowers is not a dominant one-on-one pass rusher. And the Patriots have a well-established history of letting other star players go and being just fine the next year. You know, not always, Ben, by the way. So we're just going to, in fact, we should. To be fair, we should actually do this. Go ahead, Jimmy.
It's a three-minute interview with Felger and Mass, where they talk to a random guest without the grab ass. Go.
Ben Volen on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. What are you smoking? Do they have drug testing at the Globe?
Yeah, were you drinking with Pasternak Sunday?
No. I got 3 minutes here to defend myself.
Yes.
Guys, when was the last time the Patriots paid a premium for a defensive player? Like Vince Wilfork? They let Chandler Jones walk. They let him go get big money in Arizona. Trey Flowers is probably looking at like $14 to $15 million a year as an edge rusher, and that's not even top of the market for an edge rusher. Do you really think the Patriots are going to pay that kind of money?
They should.
Why? The whole defense was based around them blitzing and twisting and stunting and playing off each other. And we saw in the Super Bowl Hightower and Van Noy getting the sacks. It's not like Trey Flowers is, you know, one-on-one beating guys all the time like Von Miller. And I don't want to turn this into bashing Trey Flowers because I think he's a very good player. But he's going to command a ton of money on the free agent market. And the Patriots, they're about value. They get guys like Jamal Sheard and Rob Ninkovich.
You're taking that cheese? So wait a minute. You're doing the value thing? Since when do you care about value? It ain't your money.
You're right, it's not my money, and sure, I mean, they can go out and pay for everyone if they have to, but I mean, let's be realistic here. You have to factor in what the Patriots normally do and how their system works, and I just don't think paying a guy who has 7.5 sacks, you know, $14 million a year is you know, within their system.
We're not about the sacks.
We had so many problems with your story, it's really hard to know where to begin. 3 minutes doesn't do it justice. You would cut Rob Gronkowski's salary, but not Devin McCourty's. Explain yourself.
Devin McCourty plays every single snap. He's the leader of your defense. He's the captain of your team. All the complicated things they were doing in the defensive backfield, that's because Devin McCourty is an unbelievable communicator, always gets guys in the right spot. This is a guy who had a pick six during the regular season, hit 22 miles an hour, so I don't think he's losing his step.
What do I care what he hit on the miles per hour? What difference does that make?
He's not losing a step. He's still got plenty of speed and plenty of quickness, and he played 97% of your snaps this year, and he's an incredibly smart and heady player, and
how
he's
many plays,
everything the
Ben,
Patriots program is all about. Like,
how many plays did he make?
I wouldn't toy with.
How many plays did he make?
I mean, I can't count them off the top of my head.
I can, like, three. Like, you tell me. No, you should be. I think you can count on one hand the number of plays he made.
I say two.
If you watch some of the mic'd up stuff from the Super Bowl, you would have seen that he was in line for an easy pick six on a ball that was tipped at the line of scrimmage. That would have been a big play for him. I don't know if he's an all-pro safety, but Devin McCourty is the reason that your defense improved.
Okay.
One of the big reasons your defense improved down the stretch.
Before your time is up, what could you possibly see in Cordarrelle Patterson?
Because I don't think he's going to cost that much money, like $4 million.
Too much.
Up the defense with the end arounds and the gadget plays.
He softens up the defense? How do he soften up the Rams?
On the end arounds. Every time he goes on that end around motion, a defender is, you know, following him over there and lets Sony Michel get these big holes right up the middle.
So $4 million for a guy, just a fast guy to run around the end twice a game?
They paid him $3.5 million this year.
Too much.
It seemed to work out pretty well. They won the Super Bowl.
Oh, so wait a minute. So now because they won the Super Bowl, everything worked? You don't believe that?
Not everything worked, but like, you know.
Oh, let's give Dwayne Allen a raise.
Well, they just won the Super Bowl with Dwayne Allen playing 30 snaps a game. So, I mean, how can you bash it?
So, no. So let's bring Dwayne Allen 30 snaps a game and pay him $7 million. I mean, it worked. They won a Super Bowl.
I said I'd pay him $3 million, which is what he made the last year.
Okay, Ben, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
Have a nice day.
We're done. It's over. Leave. Goodbye. Stop talking. Ain't finished. No plugs. Hang up. Concluded. Terminated. Get out. We're through with you.
Seemed like he had more to say.
Yeah, no. Not on the 3-minute interview. So there's Volen.
Ah, you guys are feisty today.
No, that was great. Yeah, bring him on for 3 minutes and just rip the crap out of him. That was awesome. Corey on Cape Cod, your Patriots thought. Hello, Corey. Yes.
Ripping someone else's thoughts instead of creating your own, but. Tell me this. How many points did the Rams score in the Super Bowl?
Three.
Okay, so they should totally revamp their offense because obviously one game, you know, the biggest game of the year were of
Corey, wait,
hold on. Three questions.
No. I get to respond to your thought right there. If I were the Rams, I would definitely go back to the drawing board there and look at what did not work in the biggest game that mattered.
Yeah, personally, I'd go get a quarterback.
Any team that has 2 weeks to prepare is going to succeed against another very good team. I don't care how good the other team is. If you are there, you are good, and you are going to compete to the highest level.
That's why it was 41 to 30 something last year. I don't get you. I mean, the Eagles and Patriots had 2 weeks to prepare for each other. They couldn't stop anybody.
The highest scoring Patriots offense of all time couldn't score more than 14 points in the Super Bowl in 07. So we should revamp. That was a throwing offense.
Oh, no. They definitely should have revamped 07. 07 was overrated.
And they did revamp it, actually, ultimately.
But anyway, give me your other 3 points.
They're running the ball with an offensive line and a good defense, and you're making anybody good around you. Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP because you got Brady. Who cares who the wide receivers are as long as they can play?
Okay, I mean, I'm sort of with you on that.
Bring back Amendola, like you said, if they can hash that out. Humphrey sounds great to me. Yeah, obviously, Edelman, you know, stays anything close to what he's given you the last several years. But a running game and changing up, like everyone's talked about recently with everyone playing nickel defense, run it down their throats and pass it with Brady. I mean, if you don't have Brady, you can't say that, obviously.
Thank you.
If you don't have Gronk, things change.
Thank you.
But a good defense, a few decent wide receivers, and a great offensive line with a running game. Maybe Sony Michel takes a step forward. I think you could succeed.
Okay, I agree. They don't have decent receivers.
Yeah, you need something better than Aaron Andrews and some of these other names you've read off here that I don't even know were on the roster. Right.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Damon Patterson. And again, if it's Damon, is it Damon?
I have no idea.
But it's spelled Damon, right? Never heard of the person. Spelled Damon.
Middle name's Alice.
So you need
yeah, you take a gamble on a guy like that, you shoot for Damon.
Like, I mean, don't be that kind of team. We're going to win on defense and run the ball. We're going to roll out Damon Patterson. Like, that's selling Brady short. That's selling the team short. Go get some receivers.
I've never heard of this person.
Damon.
To Damon.
Let's not make fun of the man's name. It's just it's the name his mother chose.
No, I just like the way you say it again. Shoot for Damon.
Okay, so those are we've expended all of our thoughts. We'll reset the Whopper with the Bruins today. And again, David Patterson, what's so funny?
Oh, I'm just laughing at Mass.
Okay.
Poor Ben Volen.
We have
he comes up in 3 minutes.
He just tore him a new one.
Oh, my God. He got absolutely battered. It was like Deontay Wilder had him in the corner and just kicked the crap out of him. And then Ben, I'm sorry.
Latest Celtics drama going into a really interesting game tonight. Both those things right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As you could probably see, David Pastrnak was out on the ice this morning. David actually was undergoing a procedure on his left thumb. The repair was successful. Dave will be out of the lineup for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be reevaluated where we will likely have a more definitive timeline as to when he'll return to play.
A story that you want to make fun of and crack jokes about, we have, but not a good one for the Bruins. One, two, one, two. David Pastrnak out of nowhere. Not on the ice today, and then Don Sweeney comes out and says that. And the team announced it with a tweet as well. And this is what they tweeted. Pastrnak and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner on Sunday night at about 11:30. And again, when I read that, 11:30, ooh. Like, again, honey, what time did you come home last night?
Oh, 11:30.
What was that?
11:30.
Oh, you mean 3. So at 11:30, at about 11:30, this is from the official team Twitter account. While walking to his transportation, Pastrnak fell and injured his left thumb. The team will know better in 2 weeks, but Pasternak is expected to return and play this season. That last line sort of scares me. Like, was anyone not expecting him to return?
No, I love that. To walking to his transportation.
So the team releases that information, which they're sort of leading you to think that the guy had a night out and was stumbling around out there. And that's sort of, by giving you those details, that they're sort of leading a horse to water on that one.
I mean, yes. To me, what else could it be? What was he getting on a spaceship?
There was no ice out there last night, was there?
No.
I don't know. Cobblestones? I don't know.
No, right. You don't want to speculate. I forgot.
I'm just trying to be careful and not get in trouble.
No, you're trying to be fair. I know. Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No.
After all these years.
Yeah, no. Now. 10 years in. Nine and a half in. You know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to say he was rip-roaring drunk when I don't know he was rip-roaring drunk. I have no idea.
Because you think it was drugged.
I have no idea. No, would you stop with that? Would you please?
I mean, it could be a fight, too.
I told you before. I don't care if he was drinking apple juice. Make it to the Uber, dude. Don't fall on the street and cost your team at least 2 weeks, probably a month, because of some forkakta thumb injury. And I mentioned this before. He accounts for 40% of your scoring. Now, for some reason, I've gotten a million emails on this, and people don't like this stat, but...
Use it anyway. Do it again. Do it.
He has...
Because I'm getting the same emails, and people aren't getting it. It's driving me bananas.
He has...
Listen and listen closely.
He has 66 points. 66 points. Okay? 31 goals, 35 assists for 66 points. They've scored 162 goals. So he's been in on 66 of their 162 goals, just over 40%. He's responsible or in on just over 40% of his scoring.
He has played a part in 40% of their goals.
I don't know why.
What don't you people get about this?
People say, well, he only has 31 goals, so 31 of 162 is actually 19% or what? No. So the team can't score. The team gets scoring from three or four guys. And if they don't get scoring from the three or four guys, they don't score and they don't win. And Pasternak scores more than any of those three or four guys. And now he's going to miss at least 2 weeks, probably more, because he couldn't make it to the Uber or the rickshaw or whatever the transportation was. They won't specify. Was he trying to get into one of those rickshaw deals? Because Sweeney wouldn't specify. He told people what happened, but he wouldn't say where it was and what the quote-unquote transportation was. Someone asked about it. He wasn't able to get onto the bus. He says it wasn't a bus. And I think they might have asked that because if it's a team event sometimes, certainly on the road.
Provide a shuttle or
whatever.
They'll
let them take the team bus. Like, you know, I've been there where the team bus just drops off the equipment at the hotel and the guys stay in the bus and they go out. So, like, maybe they thought it was the team bus. No. It was his transportation. And, again, it was a teammate's a sponsorship dinner. So, again, as soon as you start drinking with sales weasels, look out. And again, I don't know what he was doing, but, you know, that's just out with several of his teammates with a sponsorship dinner Sunday night at around 11:30 while walking to his transportation. Pasternak fell and injured his left thumb. So they can't score on a good night. Now their leading scorer is out for X amount of time. That's not a good story. And they should be pissed. And something tells me they might be because they let us know enough for us to go, what the hell was this guy doing?
So you don't want to speculate, but don't go drinking with the sales weasels.
I'll throw a sales weasel under the bus, no problem, because I've drank with these people.
They all have hollow legs.
No.
I'm serious.
I know what they're capable of.
Not one hollow leg, two. Two. Like, I'm telling you, it's unreal.
I get hung over on three Miller Lights. They get hung over on actually drinking. But so this just accentuates the story with the Bruins. They needed to make a trade for secondary scoring to begin with. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about a top six forward. I'm talking about a third line guy. Because when you look at their scoring, it is scary. They get scoring from four forwards, and that's it. Their top four highest scoring forwards, Pasternak, Marchand, Bergeron, and Krejci. Okay, 66 points. Marchand is 65. Bergeron is 51. Krejci has 43. The next highest scoring forward, you go from 43 points in Krejci to 19 points with DeBrusk.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
And then 16 points with Heinen. So it is the Grand Canyon between those four guys and the next level. Sweeney has to go make a trade to fill in somewhere between DeBrusk and Heinen and Krejci. And I don't need a 100-point guy. I need a freaking 30-point guy. Just a third liner. And they haven't even done that yet. So that they need to do.
They should be able to get that, too, again. And over the years, they've had some guys there in the last 10 years that have done well for them in that role. Riley Nash last year. Kelly was pretty good at it in the short term when he was here. This should be a relatively easy get.
This is really ironic because I hated Kelly at the time and I thought he was overrated while he was here. But that's exactly what they need. Riley Nash, Chris Kelly.
15-goal guy.
The Rich Peverly. The guy. The league's kind of filthy with him. I mentioned this all day yesterday. That should have been done weeks ago. So it really needs to be done now even more. And that guy's not replacing Pastrnak, but he's at least giving you something representing legit third-line production. And again, we can go back in history and say, well, it should be David Backes, but he's cashed. They blew that signing. They should have hit on more picks in the 2015 draft, which it feels like they almost totally whiffed on. We can go back and do that if you want, but be that as it may, the story is they got to do something now more than ever, not to replace Pastrnak, but to give you something lower in the lineup. And so that's on Sweeney. The rest today on Pastrnak. Dude, make it into the car. What are you doing?
I mean, I'll tell you again, that tweet, boy, think of all the detail in there that they didn't have to give us. Team sponsorship dinner, 11:30 at night, and he fell. He fell. It wasn't like, you know.
It just proves that they're pissed off about it because it's so telling. They could have hid this thing or, you know, made something up.
How does a 21-year-old world-class athlete stumble and fall like he's 90 years old?
He still can't keep his feet on the ice. He's constantly slipping around out
there. Yeah. You think that's the reason?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, right. Hands off. I forgot. No, you know what? It's a new approach on the Felger and Mass show. No, you know what? Let's give him the benefit.
Firm but fair.
Firm but fair, exactly.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
The Bruins have led a horse to water.
Jalen Brown's trying. He's trying.
They're not doing that. The team has led a horse to water. You all can drink if you want, okay? It looks like a certain thing. There's no question about it. And the team let us know it looks like a certain thing.
Maybe he didn't have an accountable drinking buddy like a certain someone did a couple of weeks ago tonight. Don't leave me. Don't leave me here alone. Make sure I get back to the hotel. All right. All that happened, but I made sure that person got into the Uber. Okay, didn't fall over.
Where was his buddy? Where were Pastrnak's buddies when he needed him? His wingmen. Okay.
I have a developing theory on this.
Okay, so there's the Bruins.
Honestly, I don't think I can say it on the air.
There's the Bruins saying thank you. There's the Bruins saying Celtics. Fascinating game tonight. The Celtics, once again, a hot mess. We've been in this spot like three or four different times this year. They're back in it. This is a huge game. This is a huge game for is the Sixers. They're at home. They're fully loaded. They've just made this trade. They just trounced the Lakers, who beat you. They're rested. They're waiting for you. You don't have Kyrie Irving. You are an absolute dumpster fire. If you walk into Philadelphia tonight and beat the Sixers, you finish them. Don't you think?
It'd be a bad sign for Philly, yeah.
Oh, my God. I think that would just about finish them.
But here's what the Celtics will actually do tonight.
Meanwhile, reports that Jason Tatum would actually be okay, or gossip that was repeated on ESPN, gossip is that Jason Tatum would actually be okay being traded to New Orleans. He wants his own team, which got us like, dude, you'd rather be a number one on a horrible losing team versus a number three on a champion? Not that he has any say in it, but really, that's your mindset? And then all the internal stuff with the Celtics on the board as well. So all these things with your phones, I promise. We're after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.